some Bible quizzing. I've been interested in Bible quizzing, have for many years, but because of our stand against, and we're not going that way, so don't worry, but against different organizations, different, we choose to be independent. We've not joined up because a lot of the Bible quizzing, it is with different, it's either with the UPC, the WPF, and or the ACI, all these different things. We choose to stand on our own, so we just never went down that path. But I had the opportunity to go check some things out yesterday, and I will tell you, I was greatly surprised at the diligence and the hard work that went into these. These kids wasn't playing video games. These kids wasn't in the back seat of a car somewhere in a parking lot. These kids were learning Scripture, and they would ask questions that I, Brother Rogers, I felt good if I could just get one. And they'd go through, this was a 30-point question. I was good. One out of three ain't bad. Go for another one, man. And I was like, New Testament. That's about as close as I'd get to some of them. And they would just rattle them off. And so I was extremely proud. And I'll probably say it again in just a minute. But I jotted it down again. I cannot type fast enough. And I tried. I need a voice recorder is what I need. But they begin to do these Bible quizzes, and I'm laid back by nature. My personality is a blue, and I am just easy going as it gets, I guess, until I get in a pinch or in a corner somewhere, and then that's a whole nother story. But we had the opportunity yesterday to watch them, and the competitive nature in me, the drive in me, man, it got lit up. And I realized as the George girls, Michaela and Megan, as they'd done their Bible quizzing, and they, as they'd say, you know, had the red team, yellow team, and they'd go, da da da, you know, and in the beginning was the blank, and the blank was with blank. And you'd have to go, in the beginning was the Word, was with God, and the Word was God, and you'd go John 1 and 1. And they would just do that, boom, 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 all the way through. And then they would ask the question, and then the child would have to answer the question, not quoting the Scripture. Now, a lot of times, if they weren't sure, they would come back and quote the Scripture real quick. One thing was, Megan got one, and she had the exact Scripture. She had the exact wording. Everything was right. But if it's a quotation question, you're not allowed to stutter. Because if you hesitate, that's where your quotation goes. And she hesitated and then started back over on a word and said it. And it was incorrect, but it was correct. And I thought, wow, I'd be disqualified every service. Every time I get in the pulpit, every stutter, that's it, you're on the bench. And so I felt very good about some of our young people. And I got to watching, in particular the George girls, and I got to watching the scores. And Our I'm going to call them our team. There was another young man on the team, and they actually had the name was Turning Point, but for today it's going to be Landmark. And it was 220-75, yay Landmark. It was 150-80, go Landmark. And it was 145-50. Go Landmark. They made a complete sweep of the entire state of Tennessee, and as each round progressed, I told Brother George, I said, God, they got to get done because I can't breathe. I'm holding my breath. This is better than football. And by the end of the third one, and see, here's the deal. If you answer six questions, you question out. So you had to use strategy. So Michaela wasn't allowed to answer any questions until I got to the 20-point and 30-point questions. So the others had to step up and answer 10-point questions. It wasn't three of them. They had to step up and answer 10-point questions. Well, if they wasn't fast enough, Michaela would burn a button on them. And she'd use up a 10-point question. Because the other team got three people who can hit a button. And all three times, Michaela questioned out. She got six correct, six correct, six correct. And when she did the other two, Megan hit a clutch 30-point question and won the round. My heart was racing. My blood pressure was up. I thought, oh, God, that's it. They're going down. And Megan hit. So I was very proud of them. I noticed people were turning around, and I realized that I was going, when our team would get a question, I'd go, yes, yeah. And you could lose points. And then I noticed that I would like, that's right, or, yeah, come on, when the other team would interrupt and they would lose 5 points. But I didn't think that was fair for a pastor to do, so I tried to quit. But either way, that's something I am interested in, even now more so than ever. One thing was said to me, or said yesterday, that just struck a chord with me. They kind of jump out, and that is when they were talking about hearing the voice of God. And I thought, you know, there's other young people that go to those same youth groups. They're not hearing what these kids are hearing. Now, granted, some of these kids, they probably, we'll put it this way, none looked as godly as Michaela and Megan. They looked like apostolic young ladies up there. I was extremely proud. Had the opportunity to meet the pastor. They have a beautiful new facility. I got an opportunity to talk with him. He said we can bring some of our men, take some pictures. So it's a lot of new ideas. But one thing they said, and it resonated within me. Got to talking about Samuel, and got to talking about Hophni and Phinehas. And I thought when she said that, and this was the lady that was over the Bible quizzing, in the book of I jotted it down, John 10:27, the Bible says, my sheep know my voice, and they follow me. And I thought, how awesome is that? Because it proved ever so true over here in Samuel, in 1 Samuel, when in the third chapter, when here little old Samuel, just a kid, probably the same age as these little Bible quizzers up there. And here's Hophni and Phinehas. There are two other young people. There was three of them there. There was the two sons of Eli, and then there was Samuel. And yet Hophni and Phinehas are over here doing their own thing. They're over here letting the fire go out. They don't have a burden, brother. They don't have a passion for what's going on. They don't have a desire to see this thing grow and to keep the light going and keep the fire. That's what the word is. The word is the life that keeps you going. It's the light that shines the way. It's the strength. It is that word that we come in and we listen to. And one reason why we changed, if you'll notice this morning, we had somebody leave the service. That way we can get out at a normal time today. Strategy. I told you it was strategy. I learned a lot from those kids. So we've got people leading the first part and people leading the second part. Amen. And I'm just going to teach a Bible class and we're going to talk, and I hope you can hear the voice of the Lord. Because Samuel said, yes, sir, Lord. Or, yes, sir, Eli. Eli said, I ain't nothing, no. Go back to bed. And then the little boy goes back to bed. And he said, Samuel. John said, yes, sir. Yes, sir, Eli, what, yes, sir. Well, what is it? I didn't call you, boy. But he was hearing a voice, and it sounded just like the voice of his man of God. And every time he thought that it was Eli calling him, and instead it was the Almighty calling his name. Amen. In this service today, I hope you hear what thus saith the word of the Lord. And I hope you, the Bible says, my sheep know my voice and follow it. And so I am going today just to take a little John into the Scripture. We're going to do some Bible teaching. Amen. We're just going to get fed by the Word. I did want to bring out that. I appreciate the Georges. I will tell you, they do not eat only vegetables. They were busted. I have evidence, if you'd like to see it afterwards. They went to Rib City, and they pigged out on the Feast for Two. Amen. I felt right at home. I was worried because they broke out veggie sticks at the thing. And I was like, yo, I got to eat more than veggie sticks. And they said, well, try one, Pastor. I was like, I ain't even putting things in my mouth. I just would feel, and I was actually hungry enough to stick my face in a bag. Sister Johnson has been, I don't think she's been cooking at all. That's probably why. Starvation worked. But we weighed the other day. And you know me, I don't mind being honest and being real. I weighed 340 at the gym. And so we've been doing this Weight Watcher. She's been doing this Weight Watcher thing, and I'm stuck because I'm married to her. And I have nowhere else to go. We live together, and we're partners. And I weighed first of the week, and I weighed 329. I was so happy.
I starved for two more days. I weighed again. I weighed 327. I weighed yesterday and weighed 324. 16 pounds. So, yay, Team Weight Watchers. Amen. Who said we can't have fun? We're going to eat somewhere after church, I can guarantee. That's why we're not going to be long today. Brandy, y'all are lucky today. Woo! Because I'm hungry when I get up here. Amen. How are you? Anybody hungry for the Word? Amen. I want God to feed us for a little bit. Amen. I do want to share one thing with you, and I'm very excited about this. Given time, and I was going to just follow. Timing is everything. Literally, timing is everything. That's not why I done it. Timing is everything, and I determined that I was just going to follow the Holy Ghost. I was going to allow God to, because man can tell somebody, Joe, you need a haircut. And he'll like, I'll let my hair grow as long as I want. And, you know, you can't make a man do it. I mean, if a man don't want to do something, Brother Rogers, as bad as you are, you've been living waiting a long time. He couldn't nobody force you to come to church if you didn't want to come to church. He couldn't nobody say, you're going to get in there and live right. Not if I don't want to live right. And look at Matt Harvey. He's like 6'17 and 3-something, and he's losing weight fast, but that's still a big joker right there. Did you see me telling him, you need to get in here and put an offering today? He's like, no, I'm going to take out the offering. I'm like, I'll tackle you around your ankles, but unless you wanted to do it, the old song says, nobody's making me do it. This is how I want to live. And you decide for you, I'll decide, but the choice is mine, and this is how I choose to be. Amen. I'm glad I made that choice. But I decided to wait, and I never touched the subject, not one time. I told you I wouldn't, and I did not. And he came to me this week, and he said, I want to talk. So Friday, he spent, I think it was Friday, all day long with us. I got Lance, I got William. We spent all day long together. So we rode, so we went to lunch. We went and got a rib out Logan's, and oops. She wasn't listening. And two geese rolls. Amen. She still ain't listening. All right. So I'll go fast now. So when I did, he said, I want to talk to you about something. And okay, great. But we ran out of time. It took all day getting them situated. And I will say they got their apartment, they got their lights turned on, and God worked miracles. I will tell you this, they had their SSI card and it had 722 on it. And they said the rent is 650. So I said, we're gonna pull out 650 and get a money order. We did. Put out the money order. And 650 minus 722 or 722 minus 650 is $72. And she said, Pastor, I want to pay my tithes. I said, you can't pay your tithes. She said, I won't pay my tithes. I want to pay my tithes. And I said, you don't need to pay your tithes. Immediately, I'm thinking, I'm protecting, I'm helping, I'm going to help him, I'm going to do this for him, I'm going to look out for him. No, I don't need your money, you need it more than I do. And Sister Johnson said to me, honey, you better let, if you want the blessings of God in her life, you better let her pay tithes. And I said, all right, you can pay tithes. You do the math. What is the tithing on $722? $72. Minus her rent, $650 out of $722, what do you have left? $72. I thought, oh, okay, God. I mean, to the dollar, to the penny. Yeah, that's what I said. Hello? Anybody home? Can you hear me now? And so we go to the electric place. All them people in there. I know Michelle back there. I was really good friends with her ex-husband and still have a relationship with Michelle. We walked through those big doors when we got to our appointment. All those line of women. Two women were taking us back. She said, I got him. She said, I got him. I got him right here. And she said, well, we don't got him. And I said, I can stay right here. I'll be glad to stay right here. And she said, I got him. So we sat down. She never required anything. She never had him pay ahead. They owed something on the last day. She said, pay it next time. She paved the way for us all along the way. And she said, now you do have a deposit. And I was trying to teach them to stand on their own feet, to be proud, to get confidence, to nobody's giving you a handout. You've done this on your own. That matters. That matters when you're coming from nothing trying to find something to stand on, trying to build an identity. I said to the grandmother, Winona, I said, go pull the money off your card. She pulled off the money on her card. It's $300. And the lady behind the desk said, you have a deposit. She said, what is it? And she said, that'll be $300. And I said, she's got it. Go ahead, pay you $300. Because I knew God, again, was at work. Not $1 over, not $1 under. Exactly right on. And so I begin to think of that always just enough. Oh, it just triggered something in my mind. They just always, and God began to work it out. Just we drove up. He said, here's the key. Right in the door. Everything just worked out. God opened the door all the way. It was always one step ahead. He always provided. So I get to lunch with William, and I knew we were out of time. And he said, we were eating lunch. It was going to have to be at work. He said, 3, but I'm going to go in a little bit late. And he said, you know, someone asked me something about my hair. He said, yeah, they're the only one concerned. And I said, mm-mm, not really. And he said, well, what do you mean? And he said, they said they was worried about my hair. I said, well, there's others. He said, who? I said, me. And he said, you are? I said, yeah, but I've never said a word to you. And he said, well, I respect that. I appreciate that. But he said, what concern do you have? What is it? I said, well, you wanted that Bible study, right? He said, yes, sir. I said, you have 5 minutes? He said, yes, sir. And we walked out. I just got my Bible out of my briefcase. I turned to 1 Corinthians 11. I think it's 1 Corinthians 11 and 7 and 14. And all I did was look at verse 14. I didn't even get to the other verses. This is when you know God's talking and God's moving. I got to verse 14. That's what I started with. And when it says even nature itself knows that it's a shame for man to have long hair, the moment I said it, it hit him. He went, oh. I said, now, Will, I have more scriptures. He said, I have all I need. And I said, well, let's jump back up here, verse 6, where it talks about a woman's hair is her glory, not to be shorn. I said, but verse 7 says that a man's covering. I said, that's God's glory, so he's not to cover it. So in other words, he don't grow it long. He keeps it showing. I said, then verse 14, he said, hey, I've seen enough. I've got all I need. He said, the rest is up to me. I said, well, you're right. He said, only two reasons a man has long hair, and that's vanity or rebellion. I never in a year that I've helped him. He's sober. He's been sober now over 8 months. He is dead, straight, dry, sober over 8 months. And I've never mentioned it, not one time. And I said, well, there's only two reasons why a man would have long hair. I said, that's vanity or rebellion. I said, what's the first thing they've done to you when you joined the military? He said, you cut my hair. And I said, what's the first thing you done when you got out? He said, oh, I grew it long. Sicilian tradition. I said, that's right. And I said, they cut it because they said it's going to be our way. You don't do what you want to do, you're going to do what I want to do, what we want to do. And I said, but when you got out, you said, I can do what I want to do. You can't tell me what to do. You grew it wrong. I said, so we're not dealing with vanity, but we're dealing with what? He said, rebellion. I said, now when a man cuts his hair, he's saying, I submit. I submit. I give. I give. He said, well, the rest is up to me. He said, looks like I've got to go in early tomorrow. Yesterday morning, very early, I got a picture, an email text thing, and it was a picture, and I touched it, and it was a great big pile of hair in the floor. Where he went to the barber. And below it was a text. He said, you've been telling me all along, not about his hair, but about yielding and submitting. He said, you've been telling me all along. He said, now I'm listening. And so last night I went by and seen him, took some pictures with him, and they actually thought that he was my son because you put us side by side, and I mean, before and after, I will so help me, I will bench you. Don't you chuckle one more time. Grin, go on, I dare you. Put your head, lift your hands and pray. Before and after Weight Watchers. You have something better? It's just as short as Brother Kenny's hair. Looks good, son. I mean, Cecile, you can tell that Italian blood big time. I mean, he looks like a Sicilian. So he walked up to me and gave me a great big hug, and they kept saying, "Oh, that's your son, this is your son." And he told Jordan, he said, "There's your brother." And Jordan said, "Jacob's here?" He have a clue. He goes, "Is Bubba here?" He goes, "No, not Jacob." He said, "That's William." Anyway, I thought I would share that. But the part that I like is when God spoke to him through the voice of a man of God. He heard it. A revelation took place. He seen it. And I said, "William, because you have submitted." He said, "I'm hungry. Now show me tithing." I said, "Now, William, I will tell you this. When a man submits and yields and say, 'God, what I have is yours. What is mine is thine. I give it to you.'" I said, "On the flip side, God says, 'What is mine is thine. And I'm going to give it to you.'" I said, "William, when you submit, and then you submit and go get a haircut," I said, "God has great things in store for you. This is just the beginning." I said, "But you watch. You're going to get the Holy Ghost. It's not going to be for just a few days." And that will be a special day in my life, because I spent 2 years with Brother Rowe and he and his family, and now the McKelvey family, and I went faithfully and got him, picked him up. I hope Brother William gets it before 2 years. I ain't got too many 2 years left. But we got a couple of families out of that. Now, William, before I left there last night, I was sitting at a table with complete strangers passing them out cards, and they were saying, "Pastor, we'll come to church. We're going to come see you." At first, it was, I don't trust people. And by then, he said, "William, you need to stick with this man. He's going to help you." And William said, "That is my pastor. That is my pastor, boy. He's real serious about it." Amen. So I began to look at in the scripture where it talked about just enough. Just enough. So I asked some of the brethren there to print me off some scriptures very quickly before I really get into the meat of our message. But I had them look up Philippians 4:19. Throw it up on the screen, Brother Shep, if you will, read it for me. He will supply all your, always just enough, Brother Cannon. You ever notice in living for God, He's always right on time. He always, always you seem to have just enough. Always. Always. Now, there are the times that, man, God blesses and you're shouting and you're, but more times than not, it's always just enough. It's usually just enough. God blesses and, man, you can just make it till Wednesday. I mean, it would be great if you had a church full of people that they could, man, get so much on Sunday, they're good for 6 months. Some of them actually think that way, but in reality, it is not that way. But God gives you enough to make it to Monday night prayer. I really found that. I preached a message one time, 4 more yards. And Walter Payton, he ran 9 miles on a football field. 9 miles. But when you broke it down, for every time he was tackled, it was 4 yards at a time. One of the greatest running backs ever in the NFL. He'd done it 4 yards. That joker got up with grass in his teeth. I know he went out beat and bruised. Kind of like some of us on a Monday or Tuesday sometimes in the spirit. You know, like, "Oh, God, I don't know if I'm going to make this or not." And we do it, but you make it four yards. And so he will supply all your needs according to his riches in glory. 2 Corinthians 12:9-10. Brother Rogers, can you read that for me, brother? "My grace is sufficient for thee." I'm going to give you just enough. My grace is enough that you can make it. Continue reading, brother. "For when I am weak, it's then I am strong." First part says, "My grace is sufficient for thee. My strength is made perfect in weakness." Always just enough. That's the kind of God we serve. Amen. That's the kind of God that I fell in love with. That's the kind of God that's reached down again and again and again and picked me up over and over again. And He's whispered in my ear, "My grace is sufficient for thee." I got this week, I got
tired. I love my dog. I'm tired of my dog. It really drives me absolutely insane when you open the gate. And so I went down to Tractor Supply and I had a little purchase. I bought a collar. Goes around my Catahoula's neck. And it fits. You have to understand, I have the most hard-headed dog in the world. He has heaven on earth. He eats good. He has fresh water. He has fresh shavings. A doghouse on my deck. I mean, boom. Almost in the living room. Not quite. Not quite. There's a boundary. He does not cross it. We would have a rotisserie Rocky. We would have. He went in Sister Jones' living room. Went and got that collar. And got a little remote control thing that you keep with you. Now, the elite one is good up to 1,000 yards. That's about how far Mr. Anderson's farm is from my house. Because I am so tired of going down to Mr. Anderson. I don't even have to tell him I'm coming. He'll call me and say, "Man, he's here again." I'll get in my truck and go down. I'll just go look for him. I'll ride right up to his house, get right up on his porch, get my dog, make the house. He don't even care. He don't say anything about it because he's so used to it. So I got that shock collar. And, brother, I got that thing, and I got out by the gate. And I was like, "Here, Rocky, 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 Rocky." But you know what? He wouldn't even go near the gate. And you would call him. Now, it would be awesome. It would be awesome if God, and he gets our attention, but a lot of times we run the other way. And now I can go, "Rocky." Brother, he hears. I mean, he hears you when you whisper. I mean, it's he well, that's like Santa Claus. He knows when you're awake. Rocky can hear the door creak now, Brother Kenny. Because it's been about 3 or 4 times now I've called Rocky and he hadn't answered. I'd go, "Say, I got him. Go get him, Jordan." And he wouldn't come up there. He'd be like, "I mean, he is the most stubborn dog in the world. It must be something on the hill." And I hit that button, and man, he would beller. Now, brother, he comes. If he hears that door open, he's sitting on the deck. "Yes, sir, I'm here." It probably would be really good if we could all walk around in the spirit with a shock collar. Remember Bishop over the years saying he wished he had a cattle prodder? I know why now. Are you trying to get people to worship? "Oh, glory to God, glory to God. Gone in, yes, he can." You're beating the keyboard, strumming the guitar, doing everything you can, and it would be good to go, "Boom, oh, glory!" And you'd holler and hit that thing. That would make it wonderful! But you cannot do it because we all have a choice and a will. Amen. But I am so glad, amen, if we ever get to the point that you can hear that whisper, God'll talk to you. Angel God will talk to you. When you learn to come and you learn to turn it over to Him, I promise you, He'll whisper your name in the night. He'll talk to you. And when He does, boy, if you just learn to listen, He'll guide you. He'll keep you from pitfalls. He'll keep you from potholes in the road. He'll keep you from going down dead-end streets. We got to learn to listen to Him. And so I begin to study in the Scripture, and I wanted just to do a Bible class. So I just let it follow through the Scriptures and wherever we begin to go, and I begin to see a thread that begin to tie and connect together. And so I continued in studying, and I read where in 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 13, the Bible says, "There hath no temptation taken you, such as is common to man. But God is faithful, who will not suffer you to be tempted above that ye are able, but will with the temptation also make a way of escape, that ye may be able to bear." Again, just enough to man. Amen. That's the kind of God we serve, Brother Cannon. It is the kind of God we are out there on the road and road rage hits. He'll help you not run that man right off the road. I begin to look at the Scriptures. I begin to walk my way through it. And I begin to notice more times than not, He's saying, "You know what? I'll give you just enough to make it. I'll give you just enough, 4 yards at a time. I'll give you one step at a time." That's why He says, "He that endureth to the end." That's why He says, "I press towards the mark of the prize of the high calling." So I went on and began to read chapter 27 of the book of Acts. In verse 39, you read the story. For sake of time, I'm just going to kind of paraphrase it and skip through it. But it talks about when Paul, they were in the ship and they were headed
to an island. It was called Melita, I believe was the name of it. And they were trying to go under the island because they were in a terrible storm. They were faced with winds and buffeted. And the Bible says where two seas come together. Now you got to imagine the terror that those guys were in. In chapter 27 there, verse 39, starting there through verse 44, they faced odds that were insurmountable. And the Bible says there was a creek. And that creek, they just aimed for where that river, that creek ran into the shore. And it was where two seas come together. And where that huge whirlpool of storm and hurricane gales were blowing. Read it for yourself. Study it. He said, stay with the ship. Don't bail out. Don't give up. Don't quit. Stay in the ship. He said, because I promise you, if you stay in the ship, not a single hair on any one of your heads will be hurt. But if you jump out of the ship, you're gone. If you ride this thing out, and there's a whole message and a principle in that right there. That no matter what storm you're facing in life, that if you will just stay with the ship, if you'll just hang tight and ride the storm out, all of a sudden, the thing began to break apart. The Bible says they ran the ship aground, the forefront, the part was stuck in the ground, and the back began to break apart. I thought you said this thing wouldn't come apart. I thought you said we was going to make it. And he told them, bail out, friends. They had rowed that thing to shore, and they stayed with the ship. And yet the ship never, the Bible calls this old gospel ship. It calls a shirt. The church is a type and shadow. It's called this old gospel ship. You read down in verse 44. Let's go. Verse 43. But the centurion, willing to save Paul, kept them from the purpose. In other words, he kept them from jumping out. And commanded that they which should cast themselves first into the sea and get to land. He said, those of you that can swim, now, timing is everything. I told you timing was everything. He said, now it's time to go. God will lead you. He sent a man to tell him. He said, if you'll stay with the man of God and if you'll stay with the ship now, he'll give you the right direction. If you'll listen for his voice now, if you go too soon and bail out, you're a goner. But if you ride this thing out, and the Bible says it began to break apart. And he said, now, those of you that can make it, jump, cast yourself into the sea, and swim to shore. Verse 44, and the rest, some on boards, some on broken pieces of the ship, and so it came to pass that they escaped all safe to land. Isn't it amazing? Even in the midst of a hurricane, that thing began to break apart. Don't you know, buddy, they was grabbing for, if there was a keg of nails, they was grabbing at it. Whatever floated by, whatever was there, they were grabbing. But the Bible says, some on broken pieces. Maybe a door come by. Maybe a big piece of wood, a big timber came by. The mast of the ship, it said, broke off. Maybe they grabbed a hold of that mast. Whatever it was, on boards and broken pieces, the Bible says they all escaped safely to land. Isn't it awesome that you serve a kind of God that will send you something to hold on to? It may be a song. I remember here recently, I was in everything that was going on, that song came on the radio, Take Me to the King. I was like, oh yeah. We like pull this thing over in the park in the emergency lane because I'm taking a trip to the King. And I just began to cry as they sang that song, Take Me to the King. And on broken pieces, sometimes it may be a person that God sends your way. It may be a pastor, a preacher, a man of God. It may be just a sister in the church. But God will send you something to hold on to. He'll send a song. He'll send a testimony. He'll send a message. He'll send a scripture. He'll send just a word going forth on a Sunday afternoon. Just stay with the ship. And some on board in broken pieces, but they all, if you will stay with the ship. Amen. He gave them just enough. Just enough. So I begin to continue on in just kind of following it this morning. I was jotting it down. And I came to the book of 1 Kings chapter 17 and 7 through 16. I'm not going to read it there. But you read the scripture for yourself. And the Bible talks about the little old lady that had a little bit of meal. She said, I'm going to get this little bit I got left, and I'm going to get a few sticks. Me and my boy, we're going to bake a cake, and that's it. I'm gone as far as I can go. I give up. And along comes a man of God, and he says, hey, by the way, why don't you go bake me a cake? I know how I feel if somebody tries to mess with my lean cuisine right now. Jordan said, I want to buy it. I said, dude, this is all I got, man. I mean, I love you, son, but you go eat your own lean cuisine. This is Daddy's thing. You got but three little old nuggets of chicken in it. And imagine that mama. Just imagine, if you would, with me. Just imagine. All she's got left, brother, is just enough for one more meal. She's thinking, if I can just eat right now, I can make it today. And he opens her world up. He broadened her horizons to something far greater and bigger than she could ever imagine. Read it for yourself. She trusted the man of God. She listened. She heard him. There's a difference in hearing the promises of God and receiving the promises of God. You can hear it, just like Phinehas and Hophni. They heard it, but Samuel received it. I can sit right here today and give you the bread of life and just give you a simple message. Just ride it out a little longer. Stay with it. Don't give up. Don't throw in the towel. Don't quit. God will give you just enough to make it. He will supply all your needs. His grace is sufficient for you. And some will receive it. Now, I've had the shock collar. Probably all of you would receive it, but we don't have a shock collar. And some will hear what I've got to say. They'll hear it, but they'll never receive it. Therefore, they'll miss out on what God has for them. They'll miss out because God will send a verse. God will send a point. God will send a scripture. Just a thought. Pastor just said one thing, and it just, and what you get is a witness, a quickening in your spirit. Just a witness in the Holy Ghost. God just, and you're like, that's it, God, that's where you're dealing with me. That's where I got, and you get your pen out and you begin to write. So I read in the verse 7 through 16, chapter 17 of 1 Kings, and the Bible says that he said, If you'll just go and she said, I have not a cake, but a handful of meal in a barrel and a little oil in a cruse. I'm gathering two sticks, and I may dress it for my son that we may eat and die. And he said, fear not. Go and do as thou hast said, but make me thereof a little cake first and bring it unto me. And after that, make for thee and thy son. Thus saith the Lord God of Israel. What if she'd have tuned him out one line before? What if she'd have just heard him, but she didn't receive him? What if she'd have said, oh God, here we go again. Here's another preacher throwing out some pie-in-the-sky message. Here's another preacher thinking he can save the world. Well, I'm not worried about saving the world, but I am worried about saving you and your family. I'm worried like that little boy with the starfish. He said, man, what are you doing? He said, I'm throwing all these starfish back. They got beached on the beach here. They got washed up on it, and the tide went out, and they left, and they're going to drown. They're going to die. The old man said, you can't save every one of them. He said, no. Grab one and threw it back. He said, but I can save that one. He grabbed and threw it back out. He said, I can save that one. Just one at a time. I'm not asking you to try to save the whole world. Just save your neighbor. Just give a card to the person at the table next to you, the person around the water cooler at work, the person in the drive-thru lane. Just to give them a church card and say, hey man, I love you. I'm just thinking about you. I'd like to invite you to church. Very simple. It's very simple. But you never know when that little compassion that you show somebody you care, you never know if that's what's going to be the thing that they can hold on to. The man tried to he didn't discard the thing. He laid it on the table last night. And the woman said, give me the card. And she got the card. And she said, Pastor, I have your card. She said, I've got it in my wallet. I said, then you call me. You call us if we can help you in any way. If we can do anything to help you, we're here. I told her where the church was at. She walked out, went outside, and her husband then stopped and stayed and talked. The other guy went on out. The lady come back in, and she came up to me, shook my hand again. She said, thank you for what you've done with William. She said, thank you for talking to us tonight. Thank you for just taking the time to talk to us. And she said, to show us that you care. She said, and taking your time and talking to us. I reached and got his ticket. I tried to buy the ticket. He would not let me buy. I just wanted to do a friendly gesture. He said, first started out with about snake handling. I said, do what? You do snake handling? You're Pentecostal. Let me tell you something. I said, first off, you offered me $1,000. I couldn't tell you where the First Snake Handling Church was. I don't have a clue. He said, well, what about your church? And I said, well, it ain't my church, but if somebody brought a snake, I'm out. I'm gone. I'm done. They can have it. I don't want it. And he said, for real? I said, dude, I pulled a card out. I said, come see for yourself. I said, just come see for yourself. Before you form an opinion, before you get off on something over here, I said, why don't you come find out for yourself? And he said, you're not one of those preachers, are you? I said, no, sir. Again, come find out for yourself. And William said, he is one you can trust. And he said, so you're a preacher I can. And his wife said, I got your card. I got your card. She said, I got it right here. She came back in, shook my hand again, thanked me for taking the time. And again, she said, sir, I'm keeping your card with me. She said, I have it in my purse and in my wallet. I said, I tell you what. Now, you never know. The other two may not get a single thing out of it. But that was something that she could hold on to. And it just triggered with William there, just begin to kind of all come together. I thought to myself, that lady is grasping at straws. Just somebody to help. Somebody to show that they care. Just somebody. She was just sitting in the corner. I don't know her life. I don't know what's going on in her life. I don't know what happens at home. But she needs God. She needs a church family to love her. And so I thought here somewhat she might be like this little woman right here. Just going to do enough, and then I'm going to die. And it all ends for me here. And he said, if you will just trust me, listen to the voice of God. Thus saith the word of God, that oil that's in that barrel is not going to, the oil that's in the cruise is not going to end. There was a drought in the land. It was a dry place, a dry time. And he said, the meal in the barrel is going to be there. And so she went back again thinking that's it. Only she didn't only hear it, Brother Rogers, but she received it. And then she seen for herself. Can I encourage you, if you're a visitor, if you're a new convert, if you're just for the first time ever coming here, maybe the second time here, I promise you, if you'll just try it. It is a cruise of oil. This place is a flow of oil that will never run out. It'll always be just enough. It is a meal barrel that you can come. The Bible says, oh, taste and see that the Lord is good. He says, he is the bread of life. I promise you, new convert, visitor, saint, I promise you, there is a supply. He said, my grace is sufficient for thee. He said, I will supply all of your needs. And so that's why I keep coming on Wednesday nights. That's why I keep coming on Monday night prayer. That's why I keep coming on Sunday. That's why I came last night. Because I know that when I do, all I got to do, brethren, is come up and take another dip. All I got to do, Brother George, has come and take another dip in the meal barrel, and God will give me everything that I need. The Bible says he has a cattle on 1,000 hills. And so I begin to look at oil in the Bible. I begin to look where that oil never run out. And I begin to just run some Bible searches on the meal and Bible searches on the oil. And when I got off into the oil, I started there actually, when I started into oil, I came across the scripture, and it all connected with the lady with the cruse of oil that just never run out. I got to Isaiah 61:3. Brother David Kinney, if you'll read Isaiah 61:1-3 for me, please. What you got to notice here is that now they've come out of captivity. And here they are in Isaiah 61, beginning at verse 1. He says, hey, listen, the Spirit of the Lord is on me. I've got the anointing. Listen to what I've got to say. The man of God said, hey, listen to me. I've got a word for you. I've got something for you. Remember the verse that said, my sheep know my voice. And they follow me. He said, hey, the anointing is on me. Listen to me now. And it's a type and shadow where they came out of captivity, but it's talking about us coming out of the world and into the church. Always, always, always God. If he says something here, if it's a prophecy here, if he says it here, it comes to pass here. If it goes forth in the Old Testament, he proves it, and it comes to pass in the New Testament. And here we are in Isaiah chapter 61, verse 1. He says, hey, listen to me. I've come to preach good tidings unto the meek. And here he is, I've come to bind up the brokenhearted. How many people that are hurt, that have a broken heart? I heard somebody say it yesterday, you broke my heart. and how many people we come in contact with. He said, hey, I've come to give you something that'll bind up the brokenhearted. To proclaim liberty to the captive. In other words, to set the captive free. Just to set the captive free. And then it says, the opening of the prison to them that are bound. How many people are bound by alcohol, bound by the sin of the world, bound by cigarettes? They're bound by drugs and addiction. They're bound by the things of the world. And he said, hey, I've come, all of you that are bound in prison, I've come to tell you about somebody that can set you free. The old song says, break every chain. Break every chain. Verse 2, Brother David. Hear what he said? First part, to proclaim the acceptable now, right now. To claim our time right now. That this is our day, this is our time to proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord and the day of vengeance of our God, to comfort all that mourn. Verse 3. The oil of joy for mourning. I love that verse. I love when he says in verse 3, to appoint unto them that mourn in Zion, to give them beauty for ashes, the oil of joy for mourning. So I begin to look at the word there where he said the oil of joy, or it said the fertileness, the life, the strength, the joy. Here we go. Verse 3, it says the oil of joy or the strength of the joy. Go look it up in your commentaries, in your Bible dictionaries, your study books. It says the strength of joy or the life that's in joy. He said, I've come to give you oil of joy for mourning. In other words, I've come to give you strength. I've come to give you an oil. I've come to give you an anointing. I've come to give you strength and joy in your time of mourning. The garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness, that they might be called trees of righteousness, the planting of the Lord, that he might be glorified. So I begin to look. Nehemiah chapter 8 and verse 10, the Bible says, then he said unto them, go your way, eat the fat and drink the sweet, and send portions unto them for whom nothing is prepared for this day. Send portions unto them for whom nothing is prepared. For this day is holy, today, unto our Lord. Neither be you sorry, for the joy of the Lord is your strength. And so I begin to realize that the Bible, the connection, the correlation here, he's come to give us, he's come to renew our joy is what he's come to do. Because he said, I'll give you oil of joy for mourning. I'll give you strength in your sad times. I'll give you uplifting. I'll give you life in your sad times, in times of mourning. Nehemiah 8 and 10 says, the joy of the Lord is your strength. And so I begin to look there. The word olive oil is used over 200 times in the Bible. Olive oil is, it is made, it's not Popeye, olive. Brother and Sister Rogers. It's Popeye and olive over there. Olive oil is used over 200 times in the Bible. You begin to look at it, spinach. Or maybe he's Brutus, I don't know. He's one of, no, he's Popeye. Not Brutus, Popeye. I read about that. Yeah. It is used in different manners, different ways, different. It represents different things. Old Testament, it was used one way, it meant one way. New Testament, it meant something else. But it was used over a total of over 200 times in, throughout the Bible. Now, a couple that stood out to me was where it talked about, and it gives scriptures, and for sake of time, I won't go into the scriptures, but it talked about, there is one, the very first one, that said, it's pure. It's called pure olive oil or virgin olive oil. You know how they get the pure olive oil. They take the fruit and they beat the olive. And it is in the beating of the olive, it is in the crushing of the olive, it's when life just grinds it down. That's when the pure virgin oil, that's where it has to be crushed to get the very best. And I thought, God, we resist. We say, God, stop the pain, stop the sorrow, stop it. We resist when we take a beating. We resist when life is battering us around. We kind of say, oh God, give me strength to make it. And God's saying, this is how I'm going to make you. This is how I'm gonna press you down. They say, and I'll go into it in a minute about we'll read it in just a moment. The second one is pressure. Pressure without heat. In other words, they just do a continual pressure. And we say, sometimes you hear them say, God, I'm under so much pressure. I can't make it. I just can't make it. I'm under so much pressure. Oh, this is killing me. This is weighting me down. It's when there is pressure without heat. One is the beating. That's how they get the pure olive oil. But when it's pressure, that's how they get what you call golden olive oil. You'll see it. Go look at Walmart. They've got virgin. That's the pure. They've got golden. And that comes through a whole other method. And you see one person over here going through something. You see one person over here going through something. One person in the back going through, and you're thinking, my God, one may be under tremendous pressure, and God's just trying to bring out the very best in them he can. And the other one's over here thinking, my God, they have taken a beating this year. They have been knocked from every side. And God's saying, yeah, but I'm trying to get to the pure oil that's in you. And so it's used in several different ways. In the New Testament, you look, and there's olive oil is used in lamps. It's used representing a light. It's used representing the Holy Ghost. It's used representing an anointing. It's used when they anointed the priest. They anointed for the feast that took place. They anointed over the food. It is used in the miraculous power. It's referenced. It is identified with miracles. You watch when somebody comes up to pray. What is the first thing we do? We get that oil and we put it on our finger and we lay hands on them and we anoint them with oil. That's scripture. The Bible says, hey, some of the elders have them lay hands on you, anoint you with oil. And so this all begins in different areas. So then I came across Psalms 92, verse 10. I want, Brother Pat, if you'll read for me, Psalms 92, verse 10. Yes, sir. Yeah, the last part. I shall be anointed with fresh oil. There's two things here. I want to jump back up to our original Isaiah 61, 1 through 3, where it talked about the oil. I went into Nehemiah 10 that the joy of the Lord is your strength. But there's one area that I overlooked. I don't want to miss this. In verse 3 there, in our original reading, it said in verse 3, to appoint unto them that mourn in Zion, to give unto them beauty for ashes, the oil of joy for mourning, the garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness, that they might be called the trees of righteousness. This is where I wanted to take a look at. This is what I wanted to look at. See, in adult class, you don't have kids. In adult class, the new convert's already next door, and so you're dealing with the saints. You're dealing with the established, the mature Christians, the established men of God. I read in verse 3 there that the Bible says, might be called trees of righteousness. What is he referring to there? I didn't have a clue. He's referring that ye might be called the trees of righteousness. He's referring to the saints. Listen to what he says. To appoint unto them that mourn in Zion, to give unto them beauty for ashes, the oil of joy for mourning, the garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness. Remember the scripture that says, such were some of you?
And it says that they might be called trees of righteousness. In other words, that those guys, those young people, those teens, those new converts can become like you that are sitting on these pews. That they can become trees of righteousness or saints. The planting of the Lord that He might be glorified. The planting of the Lord that He might be glorified. So let's break it down. It talks about trees of righteousness, or in other words, the saints, you and I, these mature in here, right here, the adult Christians, the adult men of God, ladies of God, okay, men and women of God. He said that the planting of the Lord, do you realize they do not grow of themselves? God put you here. It said the planting of the Lord. You didn't just grow. You didn't just happen. It just didn't come along. God picked you up. God planted you. You come in contact with somebody, and God planted you in the house of God. God planted you so that you might be called trees of righteousness, that He might be glorified. Now, Psalms 92 and 10, he just read, "But my horn shall thou exalt like the horn of a unicorn. I shall be anointed with fresh oil." I don't know about you, amen, but I want a fresh anointing. Every so often, see, if you don't have maintenance on a vehicle, every 3,000 miles you get that oil change. No matter what, you better get that oil change. For the life of the vehicle, you got to get fresh oil. You take a look at a house. If it is not maintained, if there is not maintenance, if there is not upkeep, it begins to run down. It begins to wear down. It begins to look old. It begins to look ragged. And sometimes you have to pressure wash it. Sometimes you have to give it a fresh coat of paint. You look at, I don't care what it is, every now and then a computer, you have to do doing the servant keepers, you have to do a maintenance, you have to do a when they, you turn everything off, you bring it back up, and you do it's a maintenance check. That's actually what it's called. It's a maintenance check, and it actually puts everything back in. It redoes all the numbers. It puts everything back. That when it spits it back out, everything's updated. Everything's fresh. Everything's renewed. And so he says that they might be called trees of righteousness in 61 and 3. The planting of the Lord, we read over in Psalms 92 and verse 10. It says that I shall be anointed with fresh oil. Drop down to verse 12 through 15, Brother Pat. The righteousness shall flourish like the palm tree. Keep reading. He shall grow like a cedar in Lebanon. We are still talking about that in the commentaries. These two scriptures are connected together. Isaiah 61 and Psalms 92 are one and the same. They are connected. When he talks about trees of righteousness, he's talking about the tall trees, the tall cedars of Lebanon. Verse 92, he talks about right here, shall grow like a cedar in Lebanon. If you look at the palm tree never dies in winter. And they say the more you press a palm tree, the more it grows. You've seen the wind blow a palm tree over. What happens? You've seen them palm trees just go right back up and they'll grow. They have a big old twist in them. That's because a storm happened in their life, but yet they just keep right on growing. Continue reading, brother. Those that be planted in the house of the Lord shall flourish. They're talking about you. Those of you that are planted. That's where it talks about study to show thyself approved, rightly dividing the word of God, just breaking it apart, word for word, line for line, seeing where it goes. And it says, those that be planted, they shall still bring, verse 13, it says, those that be planted in the house of the Lord, that you and I shall flourish in the courts of our God, enter into his gates of thanksgiving, enter into his courts with praise. Enter into his gates with thanksgiving. Enter into his courts with praise. Those that are planted in the house of God shall flourish in the praise of our God. There's a principle. There's a connection. He's not talking about the new converts and the teens. He's talking about you that are sitting on the pew. Those of you that have been here for years. Read that next line, brother. They shall still bring forth fruit in old age. Nobody puts you out to pasture. Nobody said it's over for you, that everybody else can win souls, everybody else can bring somebody. No, you should be the established child of God. You are the men and women, the leaders that show the examples to the young people, that set the example. Bible says, you're a light, a city that is set on a hill cannot be hid. It said, let your light so shine before men. They may see your good works and glorify your Father, which is in heaven. Amen. So the last one said, to show that the Lord, the last line, I probably skipped that one on purpose, they shall be fat and flourishing. Whoo! Around somebody say, man, you must be happy. Don't nobody look my way. It was not that funny, Brother Roll. I got 11 minutes. He laughed worse, didn't he? Just giggled. That was an evil laugh. Devil is a lie. Good to see Chris slip in. Amen. All right. So now, last verse, verse 15.
Show that the Lord is upright. He is my rock. There is no righteousness.
To show that the Lord is upright. Amen. He'll always give you enough. He'll always, His grace is sufficient for thee. He's not talking. He is talking to them, but he's not in these set of scriptures, Isaiah 61, Psalms 92. You take it all the way through. He's not talking Nehemiah 8 and 10. He's not talking to the new convert. He's talking to the tall cedars of Lebanon. I like Lebanon, too. That really fit. He's not talking to them. He's talking about the established. Brother Kenny, the ones that are rooted and grounded in the Word. The palm trees that are under pressure, Brother David Kenny, but yet they continue to grow. You guys are the anchor, the core, the rock of Landmark. You've been around a long time. You're established, rooted, and grounded in the Word. You're the ones that the new converts, they have to hold on to until God sends something by their way. You're the one that's constantly encouraging. Does that mean you're not under pressure? No way. Does that mean you don't get beat down sometimes? No way. You and I both know sometimes it can be rough between Sunday and Sunday. Sometimes you can face hell on earth. But if you'll just hang on, if you'll just not give in, God will give you enough. He's sending a message to the mature adult. I started to say young people, but it is what it is. So the young people of Landmark right here in this class. Yay. So all of us. Believe it or not, when it talked about the trees of righteousness, look up for yourself. It says the hoary heads. Don't get excited. It is the H-O-A-R-Y. The hoary or the gray haired. The more I dug, it was fascinating. You can thank Brother Gooden. He called me and said, Pastor, would you get a graft off the tree out back? Will you give me an apple tree? If y'all don't quit giggling and laughing, them lovebirds right there, I get to watching them. I'm about to forget everybody else. Sister Allen's, or Sister Gutierrez, sorry, his grin is so big. She's just grinning up there. And I know Brother Gutierrez is whispering something to her. Amen. I hope it. Did you hear that point that Pastor just made? Wasn't that wonderful? Oh, honey, we're like a tree. Amen. But the joy of the Lord is your strength. Devil is a lie. Read again, Pat, what verse? Psalms 92 and 15. To show that the Lord is upright, He is my rock. There is no unrighteousness in Him. It talks about the trees of righteousness. Look it up for yourself when it talks there in the Greek. When you go back and you look at it, He's talking about the old gray. He called them the gray heads, the hoary heads, the gray heads. That's a lot of you out here. Jordan told me yesterday, he said, Daddy, I like your hair like that. It says it shows the gray. You look wise, Daddy. I don't know what that meant, but I guess I didn't look too smart before. But now I've got a few gray hair, so I guess I look wise. I don't know. But nevertheless, you look at it there, and it's talking to the gray hair or the elderly. He said, the trees of righteousness, the planting of the Lord. Do you realize that He picked you out? When you go to the greenhouse, you know what it's like when you're getting your tomatoes, when you go and plant, Brother Matt Harvey, you've seen gardens over and over again. When you go and you pick out the best fruit, God walked alone, and when He began to pick it out, He was picking out you, Brother Kenny. He's seen your family. Brother, he's seen you way back. He knew what kind of legacy you would leave. And so he handpicked you. And the Bible says the planting of the Lord, if you read down in Psalms, and go on down in Psalms, let's see, 92. Or let's go to Psalms 1 and reading it, verse 1 through 3. Brother Wayne, read that for me. Psalms 1, 1 through 3.
again, the connection. Psalms 92 said, planted. Isaiah 61 said, the planting of the Lord. Psalms 92 said, planting in the house of the Lord. Psalms 1:1-3 said, blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of the sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful. He's talking again. He's talking to established men of God. He's talking to established men and women of God. The old gray heads, if you will, the mature. The people that have been through, been to hell and back, and they're still here. The people that have just held on. When God sent a prayer by, when He sent a message by, when He sent a song by, they knew they just, if they just held on, they could just ride it out, because God would always send just enough. Amen. So in studying, I thought it appropriate teaching an adult class. Amen. The Bible says, but His delight is in the law of the Lord, and in His law doth He meditate day and night, dividing. The Scripture says, study to show thyself approved, rightly dividing the Word of God. And verse 3, I want to get to, and He shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water. Not a tree that just ended up there. The Bible talks about rivers of life, the connection there, the two go together. When it talks about rivers, the word is one and the same. When it talks about rivers of life, and it talks about a tree planted by a river. Same thing again. The same word planted there is the same one in Isaiah. It's the same one in Psalms 92. It's the same one in Psalms 1. And He says, like a tree planted, it didn't just grow there, it was planted there. Somebody, the Lord Himself, took it, He worked the soil, He done with it, and He planted it by the rivers of life. Amen. Shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water that bringeth forth his fruit. I love this part. In his season. That bringeth forth his fruit, brethren, in his season. In other words, again, we go back to timing. And I think it's evident with what's going on around Landmark, the excitement that's in our young people, the excitement that's in the young married couples, the excitement that should bleed right up into our adult class. The excitement that should be sitting on these views. Not us just sitting back saying, well, we've done our part. No, you should be leading the charge. Not us saying, well, I'm going to let these young bucks do it for a while. I'm going to sit back and I'm going to just ride this one out. No. It's not time for you to just sit back. I can go scripture after scripture after scripture that when you dig it out, the Bible says I'm talking to the established tall cedars, 11, the trees, 11 and the trees of righteousness, trees that are planted by water. God planted you in Landmark for this season, for this time. Timing is everything, and this is our time. Amen. Very quickly, I want to try. I know I've got 5 minutes, so I'm going to try my best to bring it to a quick close. Amen. Let's drop down to Hebrews. For sake of time, go to Hebrews 1 and 9, if you would. Brother Mann, can you read that for me, please? Wow. He's talking to you. I'm not talking to the kids here. Though it applies, but when you look back in the Scripture, when you study it, He's talking to you and I, and He says, you've loved righteousness. You've hated iniquity. You've made it through. You've endured to the end. You've held on. You've pressed forward, pressed towards the mark of the prize of that. You've lasted this thing out. And the Bible says, thou hast loved righteousness. You've hated iniquity. There He goes to say, therefore God, even thy God, me. Therefore me, He's saying. Therefore, He said, I'm going to anoint you with the oil of gladness above all your fellows. Amen. How many are glad for that anointing oil? How many are glad even though it might be rough getting to the anointing? Amen. The anointing cost. It costs that olive everything. That olive has to be pressed. It has to be beaten. But when it gets to that oil, which represents that anointing, which represents the miraculous in your life, which represents the blessings in your life, which represents light in your life, do you see the connection? What that oil that He said, I will give you oil of gladness. It's not time for you to be sad. It's not time for you to be depressed. It's not time for you to just sit back on your pastor. It's time for you to be happy and smile and let life flow again. Bless God. Woo! Amen. And he said, I will anoint you with oil of gladness above all your fellows. That means sometimes you got to take a beating to get to that anointing. If you want the light to shine, it's going to cost you some pressing. We think living for God's easy. No, it's not easy. If you live for God hard, it's easy. If you live for God easy, it's hard. Sometimes I live for God hard and it's still pretty tough. It is what it is. I mean, as long as you're wrapped in skin, as long as you're above ground, as long as you're breathing, it's going to be tough. Because the world's going to pull on you one way. And the Lord is going to pull on you another. The church is going to pull on you one way. And your peers, if you're young enough, when you're old and set in your ways and cantankerous, like he's talking to the old gray heads that are supposed to be, the older they get, the more cantankerous they get. I'm just going to tell you right now. The older they get, Brother Jones, the more cantankerous they get. Isn't that? I see. Thank you, Sister Jones. Sister Jones. Amen. Glory to God. Amen. Brother Jones has been old a long time. And sorry. Now I'm closing. Exodus chapter 27 and verse 20. Amen. Exodus chapter 27 and verse 20. Amen. Brother Brandon in the back, read that for me, please. Read it. And thou shalt command the children that they bring thee pure oil, olive beaten with a light, to cause the lamp to burn always. You see, you and I have a responsibility to that group that's fixing to walk through that door. Every new convert, every young person, every teen, every single, every visitor. It's up to you and I, the old gray heads, the old cedars of Lebanon, the old trees of righteousness, the ones that have lived through it all. It's up for you and I. It's up to you and I to command the children of Israel that they bring thee pure oil, olive, beaten. That word, you got to encourage them. Don't give up. You're going to go through hard times. Don't give up, young person. Don't give up, teen. Don't give up, new convert. It's going to be tough. But if you can last and you can bring that olive oil that's going to come out of those tough places of your life, amen, to cause the lamp to burn always. In closing today, and let's just stand, I begin to look at that verse. And when I studied that verse, I found out that in Exodus chapter 27 and verse 20, that the people had to bring the oil. It was up to the pew. It was up to the people to bring the oil, to bring the light, to bring the anointing, to bring. And I thought, wow, what a responsibility that we have to bring it. That we have to teach the young people. That we have to teach the new. That's a responsibility. That's a burden. That's a weight. That's heavy, moms and dads. That is, if you're hearing what I'm saying. That is, if you're receiving what I'm saying. Now, it may go in one ear and out the other. You may have giggled and laughed your way through another Sunday afternoon, talked and made little things, then think that pastor doesn't see it. I see it. I think some of it's ridiculous. But I see it again and again and again. And you wonder why you struggle. You wonder why you face hardship. You wonder why you face on earth. You're hearing me, but you're not receiving me. And that's your pastor talking. I see you sitting in the back. I see you hiding your face. We'll watch your kids walk off into the sunlight. Then you'll come and you'll say, Pastor, help me. No, you could have helped a long time ago, but you sat and giggled your way through a Sunday. Shame on you. When I gave you exactly what God gave to me to give to you. And you think that I don't see it or it don't matter because Bishop's not up here. Amen. It won't be long till your old gray head will be gone. Somebody will take your place. Or if you haven't got any yet, amen. It is up to you, because it's up to you to bring the oil. I can't bring your oil for you. I can't bring your anointing for you, because that's what you want. Give me a pretty message, Pastor. Give me something to make me shout. No, I'm giving you something to chew on. I'm giving you something that a shout won't do. I'm giving you something. I'm feeding you directly from the Word. You're hearing me, but you're not receiving me. You're hearing what I'm saying, but you ain't got a clue what I'm saying. It's up to you to be the example when we have visitors, not to be a negative example. Because it's up to the old gray heads, the moms and dads, the trees of righteousness, to bring the oil. But you read it for yourself. It's up to the man of God to keep the fire burning and to keep the light and to tend the light. It's up to the people to bring the oil, but it's up to the priest to tend the lamp, to trim the wick, and to keep the light burning. I close with this passage of Scripture that talks about the five wise and the five foolish. They said, all ten of them came with oil, but life began to drain, and they never replenished. And they let the light burn, and they never trimmed the wick, and they never listened, and the oil began to burn out. And then there came the day that he said, the bridegroom cometh. He's fixing to knock. Get ready. And then they're going to run around in the hustle and bustle. And they're going to try to get the lamp. And so there's 10, remember. There's 5. That means 50%. That means half of you. And 5 of them got a lamp full of oil. They got a lamp that's burning bright. Read it for yourself. It's been trimmed. They've let the man of God come in and trim the wick. They've let the man of God come in and light the fire in their heart and in their soul and ignite the Holy Ghost within them. And they have got the replenishing of oil. They brought the oil. But then there were 5. The Bible calls them foolish. The Bible says they're foolish. They probably giggled too. Probably laughed and made jokes. Yeah, I'm lighting a fire and I'm trimming the wood. The Bible called them foolish, this angel, because they didn't pay attention. They heard it, but they didn't receive it. Randy, the Bible said they was 5 wise and 5 foolish. I ask you, which one are you? Which one? Thank you.